fear, you know, if you go away holiday and someone says, oh, you know, she's Irish or, you know, she's from Ireland, whatever, don't correct them. But personally, I'm British, I'd be British. And let me elaborate on that, explain to Catherine before we came around this afternoon. She asked me what motivated me into politics, and one of the biggest instances that happened in Northern Ireland was the flag coming down in Belfast. And so it talked about me feeling like a social outcast, that I grew up as an outcast, but the entire British identity, including the flag, made me feel a sense of belonging. I felt like I had a purpose, that I fitted in with my family, I had commonality with my family. So that was something that deeply hurt me when it came down. I felt that my sense of belonging, my place, my position, my role was gone, or I was under attack. But you know, I felt sorry but surely. But you know, as I said, no problem. If anybody was to, you know, say that I was Irish when I was away, I don't correct them, as I say. But personally, I'm British. But I'm very, very comfortable with dual nationality in Northern Ireland. I welcome it. You know, and as a British subject, I feel that, you know, I endorse and hold dear the principles of inclusivity, pluralism, multiculturalism, multi-faith, multinational society that we have within the context of the United Kingdom. And so, you know, I'm losing my trail of thought, I'm really sorry. I'm about to go off on one. no, but sorry, to answer your question, I identify as British, but I have no issue if anybody was to label me as Irish. But my sister, she is very, very
firm.
Irish.
I've
an Irish surname, poor. I can speak a wee bit of Irish. No, but I feel British. And I guess that's just, you know, the background that I've been raised in, and as I say, those principles that I hold dear that I've seen within the United Kingdom.
There's another question here. My name is Gay, and I'd like to ask you a bit more about your Britishness, and also I'd like to ask you, as you probably know, well, I'm sure you're aware of Mary Matheny, when she was president, before her present time, and when her son was publicly married, I mean, but on the fact that gay people might be treated differently about it.
I'll phone her and ask. I'm joking. I'm not too sure, to be totally honest. I mean, I guess the fact that she's given a royal assent to marriage equality, as she has on various issues relating to LGBT, you know, I would take the opinion that yes, she does. But in terms of inviting people, I've never been invited anywhere. You know, I've never been invited to Stormont, never been invited to any of the, well, in fact, I was invited to the Department of Foreign Affairs, where Rebecca had brought me over, but not centred on the issue of marriage equality. But I mean, to be honest, I mean, from the, you know, excluding my sexuality, you know, and setting that aside, you know, within the working class community, I've always felt that we've been excluded, and that's demonstrated quite recently by the Stormont House Agreement that took place in Northern Ireland. Loyalists weren't at the table, they weren't invited to the table, so we've always been excluded and scapegoated as the problems in Northern Ireland society are responsible for the ills in Northern Ireland society. As I'm sure there'll be elements within republicanism or nationalism within Northern Ireland would say exactly the same, that they feel excluded and that their voice isn't heard. I guess, hopefully that would answer it in the sense that no, we've never been invited, we haven't brought in. I am aware that there are some groups that will have, you know, an invite, you know, to come along to a nice dinner, you know, to talk about things. As I say, the Department of Foreign Affairs has invited us on numerous occasions to talk about specific issues, but I've only found that in my role as a politician, that people want to hear what you have to say when you're elected, rather than when you're just on the ground and a community worker or in that community setting. But I mean, I think that's the people of Northern Ireland don't feel that they have a voice. Certainly within my community, don't feel that they have a voice. Hopefully, they do now, with a little bit of my own in Oak Park.
Can I follow up just by asking, could you say something? I mean, the Queen obviously has to assent to whatever Parliament agrees to. So, frankly, even if she personally did or didn't agree with it, it's unlikely she would, even if she had a personal disability, if she had. She still would probably have a role of duty to do it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you can't necessarily know that. But what is the focus of your Britishness? Because I was born in England, but I came here very young, I was only 4, but my background was very English. And it took me a while to sort of be fully part of it. And I still wouldn't consider myself typically Irish. And I think there's a very important word there. Typically Irish people, when I was younger, were definitely Catholics, definitely. Protestants of any sort were slightly different, or Jews were different. But nowadays, we're working very hard here to have a concept of Irishness that's not unlike the concept of Britishness in England, which includes yellow people, brown people, black people, you know, all kinds of different types of people. And that British covers a multitude of people who aren't really Church of England and white. So to what degree do you associate with them? Because I think I mentioned this to a British ambassador here some time back. I said, do you ever find any brown, yellow, black people, in other words, immigrant origin people in England, who aren't white, who call themselves English? And I often ask people that question. I met one recently who said she did. But generally speaking, I find they call themselves British, right? Because they come from elsewhere, we'd say. So do you identify with them? Do you feel that you're kind of an immigrant from somewhere else? And how do you feel about the people who are English, white, and possibly Church of England, but you know what I mean, white English, original English, that's modern. How do you associate with them?
I associate with them on the basis that I'm a human. First and foremost, that's my principles, my ethos, my values.
How do you feel your Britishness is my question?
Yeah, no, so what I'm saying is, first and foremost, I consider, you know, anybody at all, regardless of their background, nationality, religion, you know, first and foremost human. I always look for the common humanity in people.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, that would be my way of association with them. In terms of the Britishness, it is the values and the principles that historically have been through Britain. I mean, it's not one of the most, but is certainly in my experience and in my time, in my generation, inclusive. Progressive, multicultural in the sense that we're open to immigration, we're open to taking in refugees, we are a multicultural, multi-faith society. I mean, look how many religions that we have. I mean, I've never been exposed to as much religion. I mean, I was brought up in a religious background, which I fell away from quite quickly because of sexuality. But you know, as I say, I've never been exposed to that amount of religious organisations or religious groupings. You know, so
your understanding of Britishness is an invitation to pluralism.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense of belonging as well. You know, that's who I am. That's who I was brought up as. You know, that's who I
so the multi-layered Union Jack flag.
Yeah, I've never known anything else, if that makes sense. I've never
just love to know what's different from Britishness.
Okay.
From Irishness.
We can, Nick, you've got a question.
That's probably the last question. The very funny story you told us when we were having coffee, just about you going to the first protest and what happened that led you to join the PUP. I think it's very funny.
So I just finished work. I mean, the flag had came down. The news had broke across social media that the flag had came down, or the decision to take it down. Broken, there was a call for protests, street protests, that I'd seen on social media. And as I say, you know, many people for many reasons were upset at the flag coming down. With veterans who were upset because it, you know, reflected the journey that they'd been on. It was me, you only have to look at America at how, you know, how precious they are with the flag in terms of draping over the coffin. I believe if a soldier drops it, they could be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it means quite a lot to them. But for me, it was my sense of belonging because I've grown up as a social outcast. And so I was I'd seen this online, the protest, and so I got home. I didn't have no time for dinner, so I went straight home and dandered up the street to the protest, and I was digging up as you are through work. And I had people standing with their bomber jackets and their hats on, you know, all right. It was freezing cold, you know, it was December. And so everybody was all in their winter gear, and I hadn't quite prepared. I was standing in heels, there was snow on the ground, you know, as I said, just came from work. And this bald-headed guy came out of the crowd and towards me, and he was like, what are you doing here? You know, why are you here? I was like, I'm protesting. And he was like, yes, but what for? And I was like, to get the flag back up. And, well, it's a protest, want to get your flag back up. And I was like, well, I don't know. Everybody else thinks so, you know, so I'm here with them, with the crowd. And he was like, it started to question. He was like, you know, so who's responsible for the flag coming down? It's like the politicians, they're all the same and whatever. This bald-headed guy introduced himself, Billy Hutchinson. Never heard of him. And he explained that he was a member of the PUP. And the whole time I was thinking, who is Pop? And Catherine couldn't believe this, that I hadn't heard of the PUP prior to this. But as I said, I grew up in North Belfast, and North Belfast has very dominantly been DUP and Sinn Féin. Billy Hutchinson was the representative, but I had diapers today, you know, at the time. Well, not that young. You know, I had no knowledge of Billy Hutchinson or